Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. So early in my career, I registered for this class at Second City, the training school connected to the comedy troupe. And I went because it was going to be this super fun activity that I was doing with a friend. And for sure it was that. However, it also built some skills for me, in me, that were incredibly relevant throughout my entire career. Much more helpful than I ever would have thought. And I know my next guest would agree on the benefits of improv training because she's written a book on it. Tracy Shea Porter is the CEO and co-founder of Yes Unlimited. She is also the author of the book, Yes and Business Evolution, Improv Skills for Leadership and Life. She joins us now. Hello there.
Bruce, it's a pleasure to be with you today.
I saw the title of your book, and I immediately knew we were going to have to talk because I am such a big believer in the principles of improv and Yes And in particular. I think we should start there. What do those two words jammed together actually mean?
Yes and. Yes. Okay. Well, the first thing I want to ask you, I'm going to dig into Yes And, Bruce. When you think of comedy and when maybe some of your listeners think of comedy, throw some words at me. What does it mean to you?
Freedom, yeah. Laughter, whimsy, right. Playfulness, community, sore belly.
I love all that. And it's all true, right? And a lot of people listening might think improv is about performance and stand-up and, you know, people who are doing sketch comedy, and all that's true. And Yes And is a foundation principle from that, you know, kind of modality. And what we're talking about today is something called applied improvisation. So we're taking the skills from improv and we apply them to other things like corporate training, even therapeutic work, helping people overcome anxiety, all kinds of things. So Yes And, what Yes And, that foundation principle that comedy troupes use so well, which really helps them have back and forth conversations where they apply active listening and letting go of judgment. And so, for example, Yes And is, you know, yes, I'm listening to you. I hear you. I may not even agree with you. And that's one of the important points. I might not agree with you. That's okay. I'm actually suspending my judgment out of respect. And we're going to go back and forth. I'll listen to you. And then you'll listen to me. And you'll give me that same respect. And these Yes And conversations might help us hear something new because we're listening and hearing each other and arrive at something completely new together.
Watching comedy and improv comedy before you know what Yes And is all about, you really can only know that it's hilarious. But tell me about what happens in a scene in which no is what comes back at the other performer. Like, there's no comedy there. Why is there no comedy there?
Right. So no, what happens when you use the word no, sometimes no can be a yes. We'll talk about that nuance in a second. Frequently, no is a block. You know, and if you're in the corporate world, for example, and you hear a lot of no, studies even show it shuts down the brain and you stop participating. So I write a lot in the book about the toxic use of no. For example, I had a no guy I was working with a couple of years ago. He was an entrepreneur. And every time I saw him, he was saying no, yelling no to his team. And they were all walking around with their, you know, they had no mojo left. They were totally out of it. They weren't engaged. They weren't engaged, Bruce, and they were kind of listless from hearing all that no, because it's blocking you from feeling like you're a part of the team, like there's no camaraderie here when all that you really hear is no. So the Yes And, bringing that kind of training into the corporate life and helping leaders in particular understand the value of Yes and how a team and themselves can be motivated and build trust by saying, hey, I hear you, and we're gonna listen to your ideas. In fact, active listening is one of the main ingredients of improv and Yes And.
One of the things you must have to deal with is, I don't know the right way to phrase it, but interrupting the human thing, especially in organizations, to bring the past and to bring your data and to bring the time it didn't work before. There's lots of reasons why we say no, and we're bringing that to sessions in which we're talking about the future and brainstorming. How do you help people short circuit their predisposition to say, you know, you're great. We tried that. It doesn't work.
Right. Exactly. And that's one of the, you're so right. It's one of the things that holds people back from innovation and holds companies back from creativity and trying something new is that kind of that block of that, no, it's not going to work kind of thing. So it's actually improv trains the brain. And there's a lot of research out there now. It actually trains the brain to be more divergent in the thinking. So what we actually go in and work with leaders and say, hey, let's focus on divergent thinking with intention. So you have to have an intentionality about it and say, we're going to have a brainstorming afternoon or day or session where we apply this divergent thinking, which means all ideas are good ideas. Mm. All ideas are good ideas. Everyone can be heard.
I was in a brainstorming session about a year ago where we talked about yes and as a brainstorm rule, to use air quotes. And what was interesting was the extent to which one individual in particular was offended by having others kind of point out that it was a no, but instead of a yes and. How do you try and normalize that we're having a bit of a different conversation than you may be used to having?
It's a really good point, because how you set up what you're going to do and debrief around the different exercises that you do is really important. So you don't just walk in and say, we're going to yes and. You actually have to go in and say, okay, let's talk about what this is going to mean to your organization and the value of it. And by the way, with improv, mistakes are kind of where the magic happens. And we try to highlight the fact that it's good to embrace all your mistakes as a learning and growth opportunity. And every time someone could say, but for example, we go, cheer, woo, you did it, you said it, you know? And so we could set it up that way where it's celebrated. And when you celebrate that, those little failures, it helps people feel like, oh, if I make a mistake, it's not the end of the world in the office. Whereas people frequently don't speak up. I'm actually brought in a lot of times to help teams with confidence and speaking up. And often it's because the leadership team and the way the organization is arranged, they haven't really created that kind of space for employees to feel like they can speak up.
How do you address what I think in many organizations would be a concern, that I don't want to do improv training. I'm not funny. I don't want to be a stand-up comic. This is like, just the notion of having to be on the spot like that is very stressful. How do you address that?
I love that question. And in a way, it's the way I started the conversation with you, is we start by saying, what do you think comedy is? And we get all that right out on the table. And by the way, what we're doing is using some of the foundation principles of improv and applying it to something different. You're not, all you really need to do is be yourself when you're doing applied improv techniques. And we make people feel really comfortable and say, please, all the mistakes are great. We're gonna clap and cheer when you make an error and that sort of thing. Because we want this. I call this a low stakes way to get ready for high stakes things.
Mm. If I was a fly on the wall in one of your training programs, I would see a group of people. I'd be in a conference room or a board room. I don't know if you are doing this seated or if you go into a circle. What would I see? What kinds of things would you do?
Okay, well, if we have small groups under 30, we would put everyone would be in a circle standing, because it's very dynamic. And we would do exercises in a circle, really well facilitated. We have a great team of facilitators. And if it's a large crowd, sometimes we work with 200 people. Wow. And in that scenario, we probably have two of us, or even two to four of us at the front of the room, maybe on a stage, and we bring up volunteers. And we've done this with hundreds of people, Bruce, and there's always volunteers there. And one thing you can guarantee when you're doing this, you're going to be laughing. You're going to be laughing. And Bruce, what about it? What if I just do a short improv exercise with you right now?
Oh my God, so intimidated. I couldn't possibly be put on the spot like that. I'm so nervous. I'm perspiring here. Of course, I'm ready.
I love it. Yes, let's do it. Okay. We're going to, for the audience, I'd love to do a very quick butt exercise, no exercise, and then yes and, to show what you've been talking about so well, the difference between no and yes and in this kind of situation where you want teams to be open. So what I'll do is I'll say one sentence, and you'll respond to my sentence starting with the word no, and then I'll start my sentence with no, and we'll go back, and I'll end the scene in a short period of time. So I'll say, start with Mary went to the store to buy groceries.
No, she went to the store to get a knife because she was going to operate on her own hand.
No, she actually got into her spaceship and traveled to Mars.
No, she didn't go to Mars because she knew she had an appointment with her therapist on Tuesday and Mars is too far to get back in time.
No, she went to get a manicure and pedicure because she had a date that night.
No, she didn't. She's married.
Okay, we'll end there. So what did we find out about that lady by going back and forth in that way?
Well, she's got a very interesting life.
Right.
Really interesting.
Really interesting. And nothing really connects, right?
Yeah.
Nothing really happens because there's no acceptance of each other's ideas.
Yeah.
Right. And all we do is like from one kind of throwing something at the wall. It's like throwing things at the wall without any kind of agreement whatsoever.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's try that again with yes and.
Okay.
And I'll start it and then you'll start your sentence with yes and. Okay.
Okay.
Mary went to the office and wore her favorite coat.
Yes, and she loved this coat more than anything because it came to her as a present from Celine Dion.
Yes, and she was so excited as she got into her car because she was going to meet Celine Dion for lunch.
And yes, and Celine Dion always ordered the same thing. People think she's a light eater, but she loves a Reuben sandwich.
Yes, and Mary had ordered the Reuben sandwich ahead of time. So as she got out of her car and went into the restaurant, she saw Celine Dion was so excited. She had the sandwich in front of her.
Yes. And what was so beautiful was she was eating the sandwich and also singing My Heart Will Go On at the very same time. It was beautiful. And someone was rolling on their phone and they uploaded the video to TikTok and it already has 10 million views.
Yes. And they got together and had the best lunch ever and laughed and uploaded videos all day.
So good.
There we go. There's yes and. So what do we know about the scene now?
Well, it's got a beginning, middle, and an end. There's characters. There's personality. It was fun to do.
Exactly. So the power of yes and. I always say the exercises are the teachers. And in a way, when you do it, you realize, oh, this is not so difficult. I don't have to be a stand-up comic. We're doing simple exercises that have deep and profound help and really help people develop skills.
Right. The book is called Yes and Business Evolution, Improv Skills for Leadership and Life. Tracy, thank you for joining us today.
Bruce, it's been a pleasure.
Tracy Shea Porter.